Welcome to Everyday Relationships from Focus on the Family with Dr. Greg Smalley and Susie Larson.
Welcome to today's show. We are thrilled that you have joined us. We are here every day to help you live out God's greatest commandments, love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others as you love yourself. I am Dr. Greg Smalley, joined as always by author and speaker Susie Larson. Hey, we're taking your calls this hour, so we invite you to join in with any question you have on relationship. You are such a vital component to the show, and we love it when we get to answer your questions.
Yeah, we really love doing this journey with you. So here's the number, 855-273-5283. Again, 855-273-5283. Another option is you can call that same number during non-broadcast hours and leave us a message with your question. We'll address it on a future show. And if you prefer email, here's that address, everydayrelationships@focusonthefamily.com. We'll do our best if you're able to email us right away. We'll try to get to that question today. So now pick up the phone if you've got one, 855-273-5283. And when we're taking your calls, Greg, you've been thinking a lot about what approach we parents can take when our adult kids are going a way that we don't agree with, making choices we don't agree with, that there's a wise way to do it and there's a not so wise way to do it. So tell us what's on your mind.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously we've seen this so many times. We get so many questions around this where parents, you know, who disagree with some life choice that their adult kid is making, then decide to intervene in a way that ends up really damaging the relationship, creating, you know, just a disconnect and a strange relationship with that adult child. I hate hearing that. As a matter of fact, just the other day, you know, I heard a story of a, you know, parents, Christian family, the son began to date a non-Christian gal. And, you know, of course they were, you know, this is probably not going to last. And then as, you know, boy popped the question, she accepted. The parents were like, what do we do? You know, do we say anything? You know, and they went in finally just right before the wedding. So maybe this was part of the problem, but right before the wedding, they sat him down, really them down, and said, you know, we got to speak our piece here. We don't agree with what you're doing. We think this is wrong, you know, Christian, non-Christian, and did that in such a way that it really caused a huge rift. As a matter of fact, this bride-to-be basically uninvited the whole entire family. And they went ahead with their wedding without that family there. It was really awkward. And since then, it's been just a total estrangement. And, you know, that might be an extreme, you know, case of what can happen. I know my mom's told me a couple times that there was a girl that lived with us on and off when I was in high school. I remember that. And she was getting married to someone that my mom didn't really agree with and kind of chose to set a boundary and say, I don't believe what you're doing is right, and didn't go to her wedding. And my mom still to this day says, boy, that's one of those choices that I made that if I'd give anything to be able to go back and redo that. And she would have done that very differently. You know, I mean, there's this tension between not saying something and watching our kids potentially make this huge, huge, you know, decision that they will end badly. And, you know, what do we do? And, you know, so I was just thinking about this and, you know, obviously as parents, you know, our goal is to launch our kids into a healthy, independent, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, you know, financially, hopefully financially, you know, but, you know, but our child, you know, took you a little while to respond to that.
Yeah.
You know, keep sleeping. That's okay.
Okay.
You know, obviously our child has to learn that he can and must, you know, make it on his own. And you know, there's that old saying that the only love that should ever grow asunder is that between a parent and a child. And that word asunder is into separate parts. And so it's normal. I mean, this is why we parent, to release our child. But obviously this is not easy for so many parents. And, you know, simply just the fact that their roles are changing, their diminishing role, you know, some don't want to let go. And, you know, some get impatient, frustrated at how slow maybe this child is embracing adulthood. You know, others get frustrated with, you know, the child's sense of entitlement. Others worry that my child's going to fail. I mean, we know that this is not easy. And Susie, you've had three boys where you've launched into adulthood. My oldest daughter, Taylor, you know, is a sophomore in college. So, I mean, I'm beginning to understand this. But you know, I mean, obviously the thing that we try to talk a lot about is just how that role changes as our child, you know, emerges into, you know, young adulthood. And really our role becomes at that point more of an advisor, consultant, counselor, you know, friend. I mean, it's, you know, I'm not talking buddy, but I mean, that role changes. We're not doing things for them. We shouldn't be providing them all the answers. You know, we're not trying to keep them from making mistakes, and because of what God can use, you know, how he uses those mistakes in their life. I mean, it's not like we're just to sit back and, you know, whatever, I see you going down a road that, you know, I've been down before, I'm going to, you know, not say anything. But I think it's how we approach them mm-hmm. as young adults that matters. And that's why I think that advisor role is more of a, hey, can I share something? And then we share it. You know, we make it clear this is still your choice. Here, let me give you my perspective. I'm going to keep praying for you. So I think those are some of the things that in terms of how our role changes, you know, that we have to be communicating to our young adult that we believe in them.
Yeah.
You know, that we believe that they can be successful, that, you know, that we have to begin to set limits around our financial support and living at home, doing the work for them. I mean, all those kinds of things, you know, that boy, I mean, you talk about a helpless role at times, but, you know, as a prayer warrior, you know, I mean, although it may not feel like we're accomplishing much, but to intercess on the behalf of our kids, you know, is such an important part. So that's why I was thinking about that story, you know, of what could they have done differently? You know, instead of sitting down a couple of days before the wedding or a little bit before the wedding, could they have handled that differently? And that's why I think it's in those moments where we have to really step back. What is my true role? And let me, here's where we're at. And then it's up to you. We will support you. We will love you. We will be in your corner no matter what you decide. But that's hard, isn't it, Susie?
Oh, it is so hard. I'm telling you, if ever your motives and what drives you as a parent are exposed, it's when your kids transfer from childhood to adulthood. Because if you think it's a formula that guarantees an outcome, you're in for a surprise. If you think it's a loan that they owe you, that they have to pay you back because of all you've done for them, you know, if your identity is tied into how, you know, what their choice is, that's a rug that will get pulled out from under you. I mean, truly, this is their gifts and they're the treasures that we steward. But I just think, Greg, after launching three sons, you really do have to make sure you're getting your identity from Christ and that you can make that transfer. But if your weight is so shifted on who they are and their choices, like so much is reliant on that, you will fall over and it's an undue pressure on the relationship. So as they transfer out from under your wing, you've got to transfer your weight back onto your heels, so to speak. I'm saying where you go, I'm going to respect you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to have confidence that I did my best with you. And I'm going to pray like a wild person behind the scenes. But I'm telling you this, I've seen this is when you're leaning too heavily and they make choices and you sort of fall on them, you can do more harm than good. So as they're doing the work of launching, we have to do the work of detaching. And I think it is work, Greg. I think it's really an important process that we don't talk about enough.
You know, and I think there's such a value in having sort of a literal ceremony, some sort of, you know, activity.
Like a graduation open house.
Exactly.
Just kidding.
Play the music, sign a little something as your diploma. You know, I do think though that making that obvious transition to where here's my new role, talking to our kids. I mean, we did that with Taylor, and here's the new part of our role, and I think that's such a great thing. I think though in the end, and to this family's credit, who, you know, have been estranged from their son, they continue to pursue him. They are not giving up on him. They are ruthlessly pursuing him, saying, anytime, you know, we'd love to make this right. And so far that boy hasn't been open. But hopefully, though, someday that they'll have that opportunity. You know, and Susie, here's cool, okay? So if, you know, if you'd like some more help kind of thinking through your role with an adult child, we'd love to make available a great resource by Dr. Gary Chapman. He wrote this little book called Five Love Languages. Have you heard about it? I think it's, you know, just came out.
That's a little multi-million-dollar seller.
Yeah,
but anyway,
he's a phenomenal writer. Mm-hmm. He wrote a book called How to Really Love Your Adult Child. So when you support Focus on the Family, today, if you call in today at 800-A-FAMILY with a generous gift of any amount, we're going to send you a copy of Dr. Chapman's book. It really is our way of saying thanks. So that's 800, the letter A, and then family. Again, with a donation of any amount, we'll send you that book, How to Really Love Your Adult Child, as a way of not only saying thank you for your support, but really pouring into this changing of a season and different role. And it's not easy, but we'd love to stand with you in that corner.
It is doable, and it's possible to have a great relationship with your adult kids. But I'm telling you, it's not just the work isn't just on them. It's on us, too.
Seriously.
And really important. Well, if you've got a marriage, parenting, work, in-law question, whatever it is, now's the time to give us a call, 855-273-5283. Again, 855-273-5283. Put that in your phone so you can call even during non-broadcast hours and leave a voicemail. We'd love to hear from you. You can
tell us your tips, right?
Tell us your tips.
How you've managed this relationship with your adult child.
We'll devote a whole show to your wisdom. And you can go to Facebook at facebook.com, and then our page is Everyday Relationships Radio. Or you can email us right now. We'll try to get your question on today's show. That's Everyday Relationships at focusonthefamily.com. Next, we're going to head to your emails and calls on Everyday Relationships. Don't go away. We'll be right back. This is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships. I'm Susie Larson with Dr. Greg Smalley. We're heading to the phones, taking your calls and your emails. Love to hear from you. 855-273-5283. It's open phone days. Maybe you've got a question about a relationship, but regarding our conversation and your opening commentary about just ways that we handle our adult kids, here's a listener letter that takes the issue that we've been talking about regarding disagreeing with your adult children to another level. It seems, she says, my adult daughter has recently started dating a guy I feel very uncomfortable about. I don't really know why I feel that way. He hasn't really done anything wrong. He's just extremely aggressive and outgoing, and he strikes me as a little bit self-righteous. Should I tell her how I feel?
I'd use those very words. Just sit down and just go right at that conversation with those exact words.
He's kidding.
Well, yeah. No, I am kidding. But the answer is absolutely you should tell her how you feel, because talking is always – that's a healthy thing within a relationship. But – okay, before you have that conversation, I think that there'd be some really, really important things for him to think through first. And so, you know, when he said that, I don't really know why I feel that way, that's where I would encourage him to start. And sit down with your wife, sit down with some good buddies, sit down with your pastor, you know, go call one of our counselors and just, you know, just start talking. And the goal would be to try to figure out, yeah, what's really the issue for me? I mean, is he struggling seeing his daughter being pursued, you know, and sort of losing, you know, that innocence? Or I don't know. I mean, is it he feels like he's losing his daughter, that he fears that this guy is going to be aggressive with her, or maybe that his outgoing personality will stifle her? You know, that maybe this kind of this thought or feeling of his self-righteousness, this boy, I mean, maybe he's going, this is not who I want my daughter to be with because he's not going to love her in a sacrificial way. I don't know. And yet I would encourage him not to try to figure that out in a conversation with her. That needs to be done outside, because if once he figures this out, see, this may have nothing to do with this boy. This may have nothing to do with her. This could be totally his own stuff getting stirred up that he can work through without burdening her with that information. And so, between a husband and wife, you know, when we often talk that there's, you know, that once you figure out how you feel to then go to that person and share, that's a good thing. But I would say again, unless that it's completely your issue, that by sharing that, it's just really going to burden them. I think that's what he's really trying to become aware of. I would then encourage, so once you figure it out and you got a better sense of really what's going on, and you think that, you know, I know I still, this is a valid concern, I really want to share this, then kind of like what we were saying, remember, just clarify your role. You're an advisor, you're a counselor, you know, and go to her with that kind of humility. That there's something that I would like to share with you about this boy. Is that something that you would be open to hearing about? And she may say no, and then, you know what, okay. But if she invites that, then, you know, I would start by telling her how much you love her, how much you trust in her, how much you trust her wisdom, that it's ultimately her decision on who she dates, who she ends up marrying. But, you know, hey, here's the concern. And then he could share that and then let her know that ultimately, again, it's her decision and you're going to support her. And then you've got to let that go.
Yeah.
I mean, share your peace, speak your mind, and then let that go. Now, I would encourage him beyond this to pursue this boy. I mean, if this is who his daughter's choosing to date, if this is ultimately who she's going to choose to marry, he needs to develop a relationship with this boy. And who knows? Hey, I'm telling you, okay, for all the crazy things, maybe God brought this boy into her life ultimately to connect with him in the role of maybe a mentor, to be discipled. Maybe we know nothing about this boy. Maybe he's grown up in a home where he didn't have a dad. He doesn't know what it looks like to be in a relationship, how to treat a woman.
This is really good. But Greg, as I reread this, I can't tell if it's a guy writing this email or if it's a mom. So I think maybe I want you to speak to if this is a mom about her daughter, because then it wouldn't be appropriate for maybe her to pursue this guy, right? I mean, her approach would be totally different. It could go either way. No, I think it's really important that she spoke to
assume that
because you're a dad, you know. You're,
that's a good point.
And yeah. I'm thinking of this poor mother going, I ain't calling this guy. I'm
yes.
just thinking.
If this is the mom, again, all that would apply up until the point of,
yeah.
I mean, I would say now again, her perception of this boy could be part of her own stuff. Maybe
right.
she's misread some stuff. Maybe the daughter has shared a couple things that she's taken the wrong way. So, invite them over as a couple sometime and just begin to develop a relationship. And then your husband, if he's in the, you know, if she's married, can speak into this boy's life. But otherwise, I mean, you know, as they're all together, I mean, there might be ways in which they develop a friendship, a relationship mm-hmm. to where, you know, that she better understands who this kid is. And so, I mean, hey, bottom line, you keep praying for them, you keep praying for him.
Yeah. Well, what about if she started a conversation with, tell me what you like about him, and let's
sure.
talk about that. And then, you know, partway into the conversation, is it okay to share what I see? And she says no. I would just, you know, as a mom, I'm thinking here going, well, I'm here anytime you want to talk. I love
right.
you. I believe in you. I have confidence in you.
Right.
Just to reaffirm again that I'm not just going to hover and worry,
yeah.
you know.
If they have that relationship, you know, if that she's cultivated all these years with her daughter, or that this dad has cultivated with his daughter, you know, they're going to be able to have that kind of a conversation. It may not go ideal. It may not go perfect. But they can stumble kind of through that. I mean, I think ultimately, if I've cultivated a relationship with my kids, which I hope I have, that they feel safe, you know, at least with me, knowing that I love them, that I believe in them, that I trust them, that I want to share, and hopefully that they will honor me by listening, by then taking that and praying mm-hmm. that through and making then the decision. I mean, that's what I hope can go on for this family.
Yeah.
But it's always, I mean, it's a good thing to have these kinds of conversations. So don't shy away from them, but just again, realize my role now is different and I don't want to provide all the answers and I don't want to tell you exactly what you should do. I want to ask questions, Susie, as you're talking about.
Yeah. And I've shared this on the show before, but it really was a life changer for me when one of my sons was dating a girl and it looked like it could move towards marriage. And, I didn't think she was a believer, but two, just felt like there was a harshness in her personality that she'd run all over him. And I'm not so naive to think, I mean, I'm not the kind of mom that thinks no girls are good enough for my sons, because I had to pick up their socks. I know they have their flaws, but I couldn't
stinky
bless it.
Flaws,
I couldn't
yeah.
bless it. And my girlfriend told me, I challenge you to lay down your blessing. He's an adult. And just not that you're falsely giving it away, but to say, I raised you right. I have confidence in you. I don't believe this is God's best for you, but I'm in your corner. So whatever you decide, I am here for you. That changed everything. Suddenly, his arms weren't locked against us defending his choice in her.
Yeah.
He could really be open to go, this is on me. This is my choice, but it is on me. And he slowly started to see things, and he ended up breaking up with her. And he said, that changed everything for me, Mom, is that you entrusted me to be the man and make my choice. choice, but you loved me. And he said, it freed me up. And I thought that was really important.
Yeah, I think that's right on. And no doubt, I mean, this is a tough issue. This is a tension between, you know, I see they're going to make a mistake. I don't want to be quiet and regret that part of it either.
But I'm so committed to the relationship.
Right.
Yeah, that's so good. Well, maybe you've had a similar experience and you've got a question altogether different. We'd love to hear from you. 855-273-5283. You're a little quiet today. Our phones are fixed, so you can call us now. 855-273-5283 or email us, everydayrelationships@focusonthefamily.com. We'll be more with you after the break. Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson, and it's Open Phones Day. We want to hear from you. If you've got a relationship question for Dr. Greg, here's the number, 855-273-5283, 855-273-5283. Otherwise, we've got an email address. If you send us an email now, we just might be able to tackle your question before the end of the show. That email address is everydayrelationships@focusonthefamily.com. So, Greg, this email came in. It's, this husband really needs some advice to try to heal his broken marriage. I read this one and it broke my heart. And it says, my wife and I are both Christians and have been married for 2 years. We have a beautiful baby girl. We are currently separated. 6 months into our marriage, we began to disagree on everything. My anger flared, leading to verbally abusive language and physical restraint. For her part, there was a lack of respect, intimacy, and appreciation. We'd continually fight and argue, then forgive and forget. We recently found a great church, and we're both seeing a Christian counselor and making great progress in our marriage, so I thought. A week ago, after attending an out-of-town funeral, my wife informed me that she quit her job and was flying home to her mother. I just lost it, swearing and throwing things. Since she left, we've barely talked, and when we have, I can't get any answers on her return. She'll only say that she's setting a boundary. She says she isn't planning divorce but needs to see change. Her voice is different, cold, closed off. How can we make this work from a distance?
You know what? Well, first of all, let me tell you this. I've seen absolute amazing miracles happen in marriages, even from afar. And so I've seen that in my work in intensives with couples in crisis. Bottom line, it's going to take work, and this isn't necessarily the ideal. However, what I would really encourage you to do, though, is to focus on the quote-unquote right work. And here's what I mean, Susie, that not only I think the wrong focus is actually at this point on his marriage, that the right focus is on him. The wrong question is to say, how can I have a better marriage? I think the right question is, how can I be a better spouse? How can I be a better husband? Because part of what he's got to really understand is what's going on with his wife. I mean, he talks about the coldness and closed off, and, you know, her voice is different. Well, I tell you what's really going on is her heart is either very, 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 very close to you, or it's actually even hardened. And that's a part, what he needs to understand is that, you know, when people don't feel safe with us, and clearly he has made some choices and has chosen certain behaviors, reacted in certain ways that has made her feel very, very unsafe, as it should. I mean, he hasn't been safe with her. And when someone doesn't feel safe, their heart closes, and then they're going to disconnect from you. And over time, boy, if we can't get the kind of help that we need, see, that heart is going to harden. And so my encouragement is just to really to understand that clearly, that your wife's heart is could be even stone hard towards you right now. I've seen God do miracles, but my encouragement to him is that he really puts all his focus and efforts into creating safety for her. And that means to take the pressure off of the marriage, to stop really focusing on how do we heal this marriage. And he needs to really turn his attention on, God, what do I need to do to keep growing? What do I need to learn? Really, he needs to honor her walls, as I like to put it. So these boundaries, she's separated, she's put some different, those are walls. People put walls up when they don't feel safe. And instead of trying to talk her out of it, break through it, go around them, the best thing that he can do is to say, you know what? All right, I get it. Okay. I know you hurt me and I've been hurt. So I'm acknowledging that. But he needs to really understand that, boy, I have done some things that have made you feel totally unsafe. As a matter of fact, I think the best thing that he could ever do is get to a place that he genuinely gets how unsafe that he is and has been, but really is now. I'd say it this way, if you really loved her, why would you ask her to open her heart to someone who isn't safe? You cannot possibly tell me that you've done the work to deal with your anger, to deal with the way that you rage in a way that would make you safe. That really right now you have no business asking your wife to open her heart back to you. Now the best case is that she remains separated and will wait and not run into divorce. But for right now, the best thing you could do is just to let her know that, you know what, I haven't been safe and I get it. And I think when he really humbly gets that and accepts that, then he's able to put all his time and effort and energy into growing into the husband that God wants him to be, the man that God wants him to be. The other thing is don't forget your daughter. Keep pursuing your daughter. Skype, emails, videos, pictures, and keep building that relationship. Mm. Hopefully down the road, your wife will be open to reconciliation when you become a safe person.
And this is such a critical. This is a fork in the road. So you can either humble yourself, deal with your anger stuff, and pursue her in a loving way that proves you've changed, or you can get mad about her boundary. And it's critical, isn't it? One way or the other. Sean calling in from New Smyrna Beach, Florida. We got your call on the other side, so don't go away. This is Everyday Relationships. We'd love to hear from you. If you've got a question for Greg, here's the number, 855-273-5283. Sean, your call is up next. Thanks for tuning in today. This is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. We so appreciate doing life with you, doing our best to help you with questions. If you've got a relationship question, here's your chance to call in, 855-273-5283. 855-273-5283. Sean called in from Florida, wasn't able to hold on through the break, and so we're going to get to his question in a moment. We've got an anonymous caller with a question for you, Greg, and we'll take it now. Welcome. You're on the air. Hello.
Oh.
Hi.
Okay. Hi, how are you?
Doing well. You're on with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. You got a question for Greg today.
Yeah, I do. Well, first I'd like to say that I've gotten a lot of wisdom from this show in the past few months, and I just appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
My question is, my husband and I have been married 24 years, and we have... Our communication isn't the best, and we have some big life issues to talk about coming up here, and I don't feel very safe talking about it in person with him because he, you know, gets upset about it here and there, and so I'm wondering if you had any suggestions for us for communicating these with each other on these issues.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think for a couple things to think about. So anytime you're talking about communication, there's going to be, how do we communicate during kind of times of conflict? How do we communicate during times of just making decisions? Kind of like you're talking about, we've got some major kind of life issues to work through. And then sort of on a proactive basis, how are we sort of, you know, proactively communicating throughout the day just to be known and to know each other? But I hear you really talking about, hey, we need to make some decisions. How do we do that? You know, oftentimes, you know, what creates that feeling of not being safe is either that, you know, that someone, a spouse won't talk or, you know, withdraws out of it or acts in a way that, you know, that we feel belittled or they're, you know, escalating and things get heated pretty quick. And I think one of the best ways to really come at this in a way that probably will work is that to make it clear from the beginning that first and foremost, honey, that we are on the same team, that you're my teammate, you're not my enemy, and we have an enemy, and he wants us to be in disunity. Satan hates harmony, hates unity, hates it when couples work as a team, because I'm telling you, he knows the power of a marriage, and he hates that. He hates what God has designed with every part of him, so he does everything he can to disrupt the unity. And so in a moment where you're really trying to think through how do we make a certain decision, remember that in Genesis, where it talks about the Tower of Babel, remember, God looked down and saw that when the people were united, that he said that nothing that they plan to do is impossible for him. Remember that. Your husband is not the enemy. Remind him, honey, I am not your enemy. And we are on the same team here. Can we sit down and figure out a solution that both of us feel great about? In other words, it's got to feel like a win to you and a win to me. Read Philippians 2, where it talks about don't look to your own interests, but look also to the interests of others. And I think that's the attitude that, listen, we're on the same team here. We need to, as we make this decision, either we're going to win together or we're going to lose together. There's no other option. But honey, I want to win with you. And then I think it's a matter of just sitting down and kind of talking through. So what would that win look like for you? Well, here's what that win would look like for me. And then you just kind of figure out a solution that would include both of your wins. If that's the kind of process you use, I'm telling you, you guys will make a decision that you both feel great about. But again, approach this as a team. Say it up front. I do that with my wife. Hey, honey, remember, don't worry, relax. Whatever we decide, it's going to be something you and me, both of us, feel good about.
And that's creating safety. Well, I'm glad to say Sean hit a dead zone in the interstate and he's back on, so we get to talk to him personally. Sean, thanks for being persistent, and you got a great question. You're on the air on Everyday Relationships.
Hi, yes, I had a quick question. It was in regards to, I've been in a long-term relationship, and I just recently asked my girlfriend to marry me, and I wanted to see if you had any advice on how to keep, you know, a relationship that's been, you know, going for a long time, fresh, new, exciting, in a, you know, when you go towards that marriage step.
You know, Sean, I love the question. I love it anytime someone about to get married is proactively going, how do we keep this thing new and fresh and exciting? You know, one, I think it will always come down to, that attitude that you're saying, is that how do I actually keep this new and fresh? I mean, if that's your pursuit, you're going to find it every time, because I think one of the myths inside of a marriage is that, you know, now that we dated, I asked all these questions, I got to know you, now we're married, you know, I know everything there is to know about my wife. Don't ever fall into that trap. If your attitude stays that, you know what, one lifetime isn't going to be long enough to truly get to know her, that what that does is that keeps you being curious, that keeps you regularly trying to update your knowledge and to keep current about what's going on. I think one of the greatest things, if you want to keep your marriage fresh, new, and exciting, that as you date your wife, you know, on a regular basis, as you take her out, you make the whole goal to, one, we're not going to deal and administrate our marriage. We're not going to deal with finances and whatever other problems. This is all about us just having fun and updating our knowledge. And how you do that is you keep asking questions. And I'm telling you, Sean, it is literally that simple, that when you're together, as you're driving, as you're sitting at a restaurant, whatever you do on your date, take the time to ask questions. I asked my wife, I said, what would be some questions I could ask you on a regular basis that would be meaningful? And she said, ask me how I'm feeling, how things are going between me and the kids, how things are going between me and my girlfriends, and then what is one thing God is teaching me as of late? I'm telling you, Sean, when I do that, boy, we talk and things are kept exciting and fresh and I'm learning stuff. I mean, she sent me, my wife did, a list of 20 new dreams that she has for her life. And there I have some whole new things to be praying for and how to help her keep those. So remember, one lifetime isn't long enough. You keep that attitude that I'm going to keep being curious about you and pursuing you and keep getting to know you. You ask the right kind of questions, my friend, you're going to have a great marriage.
And Sean, if you're driving so you can't take notes on everything Greg is saying, it's in his book, Wholehearted Marriage. Phenomenal book on marriage. So check that out. And you're a good man for asking. I appreciate that. From one woman, well, I wasn't going to say to another because you're a guy. Anyway, when we come back, we have time for one last question. This is Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. Don't go away. We've got time for one more. We'll tackle one more question when we come back. This is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. We so enjoyed getting your emails and calls and working through your questions today. Well, Greg, we've got time for one more question. And this one came in via our phone line, which you hear us pitch the number every day. Here it is, 855-273-5283. Put it on your phone, and you can call in during non-broadcast hours. This caller left a message on Everyday Relationships line. She's concerned about Christians celebrating the pagan aspects of holidays, such as Easter and Halloween. She feels as if Christians, we are being wimpy by dabbling in worldly things rather than standing for righteousness. Let's listen in.
I don't really understand why Christians participate in Easter rabbit things and sunrise services, knowing that it comes from pagans, especially the red Easter eggs when they sacrifice children and they dip the eggs in the blood of the children that they sacrificed to the sun god, and they stood there and watched the sun rise. I just think it's hypocritical to indulge our children in that and then say that, now we're going to use the eggs to teach you about Jesus. I don't believe in mixing pagan things with Christian things.
Good question, because I tell you what, I mean, man, you talk about a controversial topic that unfortunately I think has divided so many Christians. And, you know, I think, let's not let it get to the point to where we're all so divided and angry at one another. But, you know, I think here's how I would look at that. I think it's good for parents, all right, to understand the origin of some of these holidays, Easter, Halloween. You know, I mean, both of those definitely have some pagan origins. They have Christian heritage that goes right along with them. I think of Halloween, you know, All Hallows Eve, to where they celebrated, you know, the Christ's victory over death. And so with my kids, here's how I handle this. I look at these as harmful fun, or harmless fun, excuse me, there's a big difference, harmless fun, you know, provided that they don't obscure the real meaning of the celebration. So, you know, like just on Easter, you know, we had fun with the Easter baskets and we hid the plastic eggs and the real eggs and we did all that, but that our kids know that what we're doing and the traditions we have and how we're having fun with all this, okay, is we're celebrating Christ's victory over Satan. And that's the point, both with Halloween, you know, we let our kids dress up and we go out and have a fun family tradition evening. We don't let our kids dress up in anything that's on the verge of demonic. So it's got to be, you know, some cute and fun, that kind of thing. But before they go out for Halloween, you know, we talk about, this is about us celebrating Christ's victory over death. We embrace those teachable moments. So, I mean, don't hide from these traditions. Embrace them. Have fun as you develop your own traditions around them. And then use them as definite teachable moments.
And if you have a conviction in that regard, Scripture says if it's a sin to you, you shouldn't do it. I mean, we're all in different places in the process. Exactly. And so if it really feels like that, then you shouldn't. But we got to be careful about what we put on each other, right? Yeah. Well, many thanks to those of you who called in and emailed in. We sure love hearing from you. Tune in next time because we'll be addressing relationships that are very dear to your heart. But in the meantime, email us if you've got a question you want us to tackle on a future show. Here it is, everydayrelationships@focusonthefamily.com. And we will meet you back here next time.